I have no banter.
I found a possum skull in the woods in the middle of a bog.
Yeah.
And then I brought it to Audrey.
And now it's in my home, haunting it.
You want to see a picture of a teeny tiny turtle?
Sure.
You can. I'll send you it if you like the picture of the teeny tiny turtle, and we can share it with everybody.
Okay.
Those are centimeters.
Oh my gosh, it's so small.
It is about 4 centimeters wide.
Oh.
It's a little teeny tiny. I think he's a alligator snapping turtle.
A baby?
Yeah, just little a wee baby. Like, he just hatched.
That's so cute.
And he's so bright green.
Yeah, it looks like a ninja turtle.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, when was it? April 8th, 2022. It sleeted all day and smacked me in the face while I was working outside, and it was so miserable, and I had slept really wrong on my neck, so it was, like, all creaky, kinked up, like you have your head
like
in a tilt.
Like the bent neck lady.
Yeah, literally, like, you had your head tilted because you couldn't turn it the other way at all, and then we were cold, so I was, like, shivering up, so then I was like, oh my gosh, I literally am starting to not be able to move my left side, because that's the side that was, like, tense. So I had to go and sit in the car and defrost so they could actually work the rest of the day.
Yeah, yesterday was so weird.
It was so
I just
cold.
Kept watching it out the door. And then I had to take Drew to a work, like, happy hour thing in a bar. And, like, we were driving on the highway, and it would just start sleeting.
Uh-huh.
And you would just see it falling, like, really pretty on the highway, and then it would just stop.
Yep.
Everything stopped.
Day.
And then it would
it
do it again.
Miserable.
And I was like, am I the only one seeing this? Because this is weird.
It was so miserable that we stopped.
It was
stopped.
So windy, too.
We stopped because we're digging out trenches for a mitigation. So, like we stop when we see things and then we dig those out, you know, record them and all that. The backhoe, we decided we were stopping the trench because it was so miserable to stand up watching the trench because you weren't protected by the hole. But we had, like, left previous trenches open to deal with some features, like some, you know, old fire pits and old foundations and stuff like that we needed to dig out to, you know, see what they were. So everyone down there was sort of okay. Like, it was inconvenient that everything kept getting damp, but it wasn't bad. But the people who were standing up to watch the backhoe dig were, like, literally just couldn't feel all of their fingers and toes. Like, their nose might as well just fall off. It was just so violently cold, even though we were, like, fully bundled. That we all decided together, including the backhoe driver, because he felt so bad for us, to stop digging the trenches for the day. And he moved his backhoe around to, like, block all the wind so people who were standing up, because if you're standing up, your head was out of the hole.
Yeah.
So that there was less wind on us.
Oh.
It was very nice. It was just so bitter cold. And he's in, like, a little, like, heated cabin, so he's fine.
Yeah.
And blocked from the wind and all that.
If Teddy could not do that right now, that'd be nice. Okay, I'm gonna go first.
Okay.
All right. So my story is about the murderess of Slaughterhouse Gulch. I got my information from buckrail.com, a newspaper article that was attached to buckrail.com. I couldn't find the name of it on anywhere. It was just, like, photocopied on, like, the page that it was all on.
Yeah.
Onlyinyourstate.com, y95country.com, and medium.com.
So, y95country.com.
Yeah. I know, every once in a while I'll find just, like, radio stations
that, are, like,
that do really
stories.
Good, weird
yeah.
articles. So, today, South Pass is a small town, almost abandoned, located south of Lander, Wyoming. However, in the 1860s, it was a busy mining town in an area that drew in prospectors from all over the nation. The highly productive Clarus Mine and others in the area made it a great spot for those with gold fever. It was also a perfect rest stop on the Oregon Trail for westbound travelers. Even Mark Twain wrote about his visit to South Pass City. So, the town of South Pass City was among the nation's most important outposts on the frontier of Western communications and transportation. The South Pass afforded the easiest passage over the Continental Divide to Green River Valley, Coulter's Hell, which is, I guess, now Yellowstone National Park, or in it, the Three Forks of the Missouri River on the north to Bear Lake, Cache Valley, Ogden's Hole, the Great Salt Lake Valley, and the Pacific Territories. So, the Bartlett family arrived in South Pass after leaving Cincinnati, where Stephen, in some accounts he is referred to as John or Jim, so I'm not really sure what his first name is.
Stephen, Stephen, John, or Jim.
Whatever his name, he ran a rundown bar where he and his daughter were known to rob the more wealthy customers, which is most likely, obviously, what ran them out of town. So he, a son, a relative named Hattie that had, like, been living with them since she was a child. Mm-hmm. And then the daughter, Polly, wanted to get in on the gold in Colorado. So in the spring of 1867, they rode to Council Bluffs, Iowa on a train, then crossed the Missouri River on a ferry. In Omaha, they purchased a Conestoga wagon. And in late June, they arrived in the area of the present town of Idaho Springs, Colorado. It was a rugged mining community in the Rocky Mountains. Quickly, they learned that gold mining wasn't for them. So in August, they decided to go on to Oregon and establish a saloon. A few weeks later, when they got to a camp near South Pass City, they encountered a man who said something along the lines of, quote, "I ain't had a woman cooked meal since I came to the gold fields." He then offered to pay $10 for the privilege of eating with the Bartletts, which is a lot at this time, obviously. Mm-hmm. Adding that he could afford it since he had made a strike in South Pass Goldfield. So, the Bartletts were shocked by this when the man actually did pull out a $10 gold coin.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. So, after this, the Bartletts decided to stay in South Pass City, and they opened a lodging house of sorts. Or an inn. In whatever. So, other than their lodging house, the town had 5 hotels, 17 saloons, 3 general stores, 2 bakeries, a weekly newspaper, 2 doctors, who also functioned as dentists, and 2 undertakers who divided their time between the customers and their gold digging. So, South Pass also boasted of the only woman justice of the peace, Esther Morris, who was the mother of women's suffrage. Fun fact.
Yeah.
So, around 1868, Polly had noticed that many of the guests who stayed at the Bartlett's boarding house often had some gold with them, or large amounts of gold with them. So the family obtained a pretty big quantity of arsenic, saying they needed it for rodents that made their guests uncomfortable.
Fair.
I think we can all see where this is going.
Oh, yeah.
Polly and her family decided that they would start to poison the men that stayed overnight, since it's mostly just, like, miners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of families coming through on the Oregon Trail, I don't think. So mostly they just targeted these single lonely men, which I guess is, like, good.
So it's like arsenic and
but also lace. Not great. Because you shouldn't be killing anyone. But anyway, so Polly would supposedly poison these men with arsenic-laced steaks after liquoring them up with, quote, "a little whiskey and a little frisky." So, since this was around a mining town on the edge of the Great Frontier, these missing men went unnoticed. It was not uncommon for people to go missing in the 1860s in Wyoming, or anywhere. There was trouble with highwaymen, other miners, illness, and a large number of other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the span of no more than a year, Polly reportedly drugged, robbed, and buried more than 20 men with the help of her father. So it really seems like it's just her and her dad that have been, like, the big-time troublemakers and not the other two people that are with them. Her final victim was a young man named Barney Fountain. He was a 23-year-old who was the son of a wealthy mine owner, Bernard Fountain. After his son's disappearance, which obviously, like, he's probably going to notice if, you know, his son's gone missing. And not just, like, random people who it's their adult son who went away to, you know, mine for gold. So after his son's disappearance, a Pinkerton detective started looking into things, and before long, the sheriff slash marshal of Carter County, a man named Adam Lombardi, posted a $13,000 reward for the Bartletts, who had struck out in a hurry, reportedly headed for Oregon. So, there, in the newspaper article, it also talked about how after they had left Cincinnati, police and detectives were, like, looking for them, too, for all the crimes that they did there. So I think they've actually been wanted for quite a while, at least, that we know of. So Edmund Ford ended up collecting the reward after tracking down the Bartletts days later, camped along the Hoback River. He shot and killed the father and brought Polly back for her hanging. So months before this, Edmund himself had almost been seduced and poisoned like Polly's other victims when he stayed at the lodging house. He didn't really care for alcohol, so her plans were pretty much foiled.
Yeah.
And later, Edmund's brother Sam went missing after staying at the Bartlett Inn, and Edmund became suspicious. And he actually convinced the sheriff that something wasn't right at the Bartlett Inn. So I think even before this wealthy guy's son went missing, they'd already been looking and, like, trying to figure out what was going on here.
There is some suspicion. So, gotta get those Pinkertons involved.
Yeah, I guess. So while being held in jail, a man named Otto Kalkhorst?
Yeah.
Shot Polly through a cell window with both barrels of a shotgun on October 7th, 1868. He was a foreman at one of the miners at one of the mines owned by Bernard Fountain. And he was never tried for the murder.
Hold on, so this is straight up hired a hitman?
Yes. it doesn't say that anywhere, but we 100% can hired a hitman. Assume. So authorities reportedly dug up around 22 bodies from corrals on the Bartlett property, which would make Polly Bartlett the most cold-blooded serial killer in the state history.
I feel like it's one of the most cold-blooded serial killers. That's a lot. She has to be one of the top female serial killers.
So a quote from a newspaper said, quote, "She had a sensual beauty and the spell of a she-devil, and she poisoned her victims with a laugh and a mad kiss." And that's all I have on this story. The only other thing I have is that a lot of articles said that they don't know if this story is even true or not.
How do you not?
But there's, I feel like there was so much that I looked at that at least some of the story has to be true. I don't know if they're just saying, like, it's, part of it isn't true, but with the amount of victims, like, there could have been way more, there could have been way less.
What was her full name?
Polly Bartlett.
That's what I thought.
So I'm not really sure exactly what they mean by that, and they just say that it's local, like, folklore, but I'll show you the newspaper article that I found.
Is it an old-timey newspaper article, or... Hold on, go up. Yeah, everything's, like, really questioning whether or not she existed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I don't really know if any of it's true or not, but... I guess you can also never know what's really true or not in any of history. That's, I mean, everybody's that's dead who true. Lived in that time. Everything could be just completely made up and we don't even have a clue. So I thought it was one of the more interesting Wyoming stories because Wyoming did not have a lot of true crime that was even remotely interesting. So there you go.
I didn't. That was fun.
I like that story. Well, I know because I read so many, like, old-timey ones, and, like, the other one I was going to cover was about a little boy getting killed by other little boys.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that's too sad, but it was the only one that was, like, not just boring and too short.
Yeah.
But it was more like the dad, like, had his sons help him hunt this little boy or something.
Oh, that's really weird.
It was bad. Well, that's why I was going to cover it because I was like, this is... Day. But I was like, this is too sad, I think.
I get that.
So I found that one, and I was like, I like this. Even if it's fake, like I said, anything from history can be fake, and we just don't even know it. So it's as true as everything else to me. All right, your turn.
Yeah. Okay. My story today is about Fort Laramie, but the actual fort, not the town, Fort Laramie.
Okay.
Which is right next to it, but they're, like, different entities made at different times. So my sources are Wikipedia, Only in Your State, American Ghost Stories, and Animalian.com. So Fort Laramie is located in Goshen County, Wyoming. The closest town, I believe, is Fort Laramie. The town, not the fort, obviously. The area was forced. The area was first recorded as being settled by fur trappers sometime between 1815 and 1816. They don't know for sure which one. One of the trappers was called Jacques Laramie, like La Ramie, like French, which is where we get Laramie from. So one day he set out on a trapping trip, and this was either in 1819 or 1820, we again don't know, and was never seen again. Story goes that Laramie was killed by the Arapaho and was buried in a beaver dam, but like we don't know what happened. People just disappear all the time in the Great Plains. Dehydration, you fall weird, your horse kicks you. Who knows? No matter what, everything around them is like named after him now. So like it starts with the river, and then the river results in the Laramie Mountains being named that, and then there's the town of Laramie. There's also the town of Fort Laramie.
You're not confusing at all.
They're two different places. All right. And the Laramie Mountains and the Laramie River.
And the general store. The museum.
The bowling alley.
The airport.
The inn. Just all of it.
The hiking trail.
Anyway. The restaurant. So the first fort is built in the area between 1833 and 1834. This is like a fur trapper trading post fort. Like protection fort. Not like a U.S. military fort. It's located at the confluence of two rivers, so it has, like, a partial natural moat because of this location. And it's at the junction of a number of westward immigration trails, including the Mormon Trail and the Oregon Trail. And obviously it functioned as a fur trading post because fur traders built it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, literally a point in the game, Oregon Trail. Like, you stop at Fort Laramie. And maybe I'm, like, butchering it, and it's, like, Laramie, but I'm gonna keep saying it the way I'm saying it, and I apologize.
Sounds good to me.
So in 1845, there was a significantly smaller fort, Fort Bernard, that was built just 8 miles east, which was ever so slightly closer to the emigrant trail, as well as still being on these other two trails, and they managed to, like, constantly undersell Fort Laramie for, like, lodging and prices and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this continued until Fort Bernard burnt down in 1866. But, like, no matter what, Fort Laramie was the bigger fort, so it had some use. Oh, she's snoring. So, that like, they managed so to stay in... Let's see. So in 1849, the fort was bought for $4,000, which in today's money is around... $147,384.
Okay.
Which is still a great deal. And it was bought by the U.S. government, where they planned to establish a permanent garrison between, which is when we get, like, start getting real records, is because now the U.S. government owns it and has, you know, not necessarily better, but they shared their numbers, mm-hmm, of people who were going through the area. So in 1849, between 20,000 and 4,000 20,000 and 40,000 travelers went through the fort. They usually stayed there a few nights because, like, why would you not briefly stay in civilization before you head out into your, you know, the area where you're constantly dying of dysentery?
Yeah.
if the game is in any way accurate.
Yeah.
Basing all my knowledge of the Oregon Trail off the game. So, like, they're seeing a decent number of people, even with this competing fort just down the road.
Uh-huh.
They literally, like, that fort prices righted them. They would just went a little bit closer to everything else, which is very rude. Because they can only do it because Fort Laramie was keeping them safe.
Yeah.
Because Fort Laramie's built in a strategic position, like, for safety reasons, and Fort Bernard is like, we can just be in a better place for financial reasons, because you're there to protect us. In 1851, the first Treaty of Fort Laramie is signed, and this is with, like, the native groups in the area. And, but, like, the fort instigates the treaty, by the way. Like, they're like, we want to keep as much peace as possible. We don't want conflict, right? Yeah. Of course, that obviously means they start conflicts now because they've controlled this population. So in 1834, the U.S. obviously breaks their contract because that's what they always do. They always are breaking their treaties with Native peoples. Don't trust the U.S. government if you're a Native people.
If you're anyone.
Or if you're anyone. Anyway, and this all starts with the Gratton or Grattan, depending on how...
you pronounce things.
Depending on how you pronounce things. so anyway, the Gratton Massacre happens, and it starts with, like, I don't know, somebody had done something that was, like, not worth what happens next. And they, like, approach this village and just kill the chief for, like, absolutely no reason. They kill Chief Matowayuhi. There's a whole bunch of accents on letters, so I know I'm not pronouncing it right, but...
We're trying our best here. That's what
the
letters
look like, and I don't know the phonetic alphabet. Anyway, they just kill him because they can. And in retaliation... Because
they're trying to hit him where it hurts.
They just want to weaken him and weaken him and weaken him until they're no longer a threat. Terrible. In really dirty ways. Anyway, obviously, the Native population retaliates.
As they should.
They literally just return fire because they've just
now... Because someone attacked them. Killed
an innocent man. This is straight up murder. And 29 U.S. soldiers are killed.
Good.
And this starts the First Sioux War.
Okay.
I
don't know anything about those.
There's a whole bunch of
wars. Well, I would assume so if it says the first.
Yeah. I mean, more than just, like...
Well, no, I know that. It's just you're never taught about any of them.
No, you're not, on purpose. Because I'm pretty sure almost every single one of them we started in some way or another.
I think the government's always in the wrong.
Like, the Black Hawk War was also started because white people got greedy. And I mean, like,
that's
like
how just every war civilians. Starts.
They decided, I want to live there now. And then made everybody leave, even though that was, like, their treaty-agreed land. It's very frustrating. It's so frustrating to read history in America.
Yeah, it is.
And
that's why I don't.
That's honestly, it's like just depressing. I can't I can't do it unless I'm like doing it for this.
It's good that Dad knows so much because then he tells me everything. Yes,
I don't have to read all the sadness.
He's very educated.
Because I know it sucks. I don't need to read in details to why it sucks.
I already have so much hate in my heart. Towards all the bad guys.
this was an interesting bit. So I intentionally skipped, like, the long set of, like, Indian conflict that happens in the area because it's just all bad and the U.S. is always the bad guy. Like, know what happens. Please look it up. Please be aware. But I can't do that for myself. Just makes me sad.
Well, and then it would be so too long.
It'd be a very, very long history before we got to the paranormal. So anyway, during the Civil War, at least two companies of galvanized Yankees... Which are just Confederate prisoners who were recruited to the Union Army. Like that one guy in my Kansas story.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Where they send him really far away from the front lines of the Civil War so that they, like, aren't going to be, like, turncoats. So at least two of those groups were stationed at Fort Laramie. And I thought that was interesting because I didn't think... I liked the name, and I didn't realize that was a name for them.
Uh-huh.
Galvanized Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that. Maybe in a movie.
And Civil War soldiers come up later.
Okay.
So the fort was... I basically tried to record anything that was relevant to the paranormal history.
Yeah.
Or something that I thought needed, like, a lovely PSA. Remember, your schools aren't teaching you everything.
So they're teaching you relatively nothing.
It's true. The fort was decommissioned in 1890 after wagon travel had become few and far between. Obviously, everybody's doing trains now. We don't need loose ends.
Wagons. Oh.
What? I don't need loose wagons. No, loose fortified inns. Okay. Fortified general stores. So, soldiers were... So, and they decommissioned the whole fort. The U.S. government no longer needs to, like, be here, right? In a military fashion.
Because it's Wyoming. They never needed to be there.
So true. So, soldiers were ordered to remove windows, doors... flooring and any other material of value in the buildings And then the remaining structures were sold off to civilians who bought these, like, floorless buildings, which is really funny to me.
Floorless?
Yeah, they sold off the floorboards.
Well, they took the floorboards for themselves so they couldn't be stripped and sold. They didn't want the civilians to profit off of things the government had established.
Of course they didn't.
So people are buying these floorless structures.
What else are they supposed to do with them?
Like, they successfully sold them all off.
If I was a citizen, I would just rip all the other boards.
I think I'd just outside. Take the rest.
Yeah.
No, they were Adobe.
Oh, you didn't say
that.
They
were like, yeah, these are Adobe buildings. I didn't
think about it. Wow, that's really so rude.
Yeah, so they can't even, like, strip the materials off them. They can't take, like, the stone or the brick to go build something
else. Ridiculous.
They can't take the wood. They have to use that structure if they want do something with it. So they made them valueless and then made people buy them.
Seems about right. Nothing has changed.
And then the entire government claims, like the entire military area around it, was opened up for homesteading in the Homesteading Act of 1891. Rather than giving it back to the people who it belongs to treaty-wise. Yeah. But okay.
I was going to say, that sounds wrong to me.
Yep.
But all right.
So currently the property is a National Historic Site. It has 13 buildings that remain standing, which is a shocking number.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's not a lot of, like, degrading weather conditions up there, if I am understanding the climate of Wyoming right.
I know there's a lot of snow.
Yeah, but it's not very, like, humid, I'm pretty sure. Which is usually pretty good for
probably
things.
Probably not. Nowhere is as humid as here.
Keeps things, oh my gosh, this dang bowl we live in. And then there's also 11 runes, and they're, like, bona fide runes because they're adobe, so they look fun.
Yeah.
And then some visible foundations from buildings that I think were wood and not adobe, which were probably just, like, stripped and made into new things.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to the paranormal. This one has a lot of fun ghosts. I'm very excited. So
are these 13 buildings still used?
They're all, like, you know, when we went to Fort Sisseton, it looks a lot like Fort Sisseton in South Dakota.
Is it just, like, people can tour it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they've
I was trying to figure out, is there still any kind of...
Windows
okay,
again.
Okay. There's boards on the ground again.
There's boards on the ground you can walk on.
All right.
So, the captain's quarters, which was built around 1870, or maybe in 1870, we might know that one, it is host to phantom footsteps, which would be really funny if the floors weren't there anymore and it was just footsteps. doors open and close on their own, so clearly doors have been put back in the building.
Uh-huh. No, they're ghost doors.
And then lights are seen in the building at night, even though there is absolutely no electricity in this building.
Great.
So this is, like, apparently, like, a singular, like, semi-active spirit, but doesn't, like, have a corporal body that it has ever perceived. It just sort of is existing in the building still. So they have affectionately named it George.
Oh.
So George haunts the captain's
quarters. Why do they always give them such basic names?
I know.
Give them
they can name
fun,
them, you
like,
know,
Reginald.
Archibald. Wouldn't it be crazy if we said the same name?
It was pretty close.
So next we have the Old Bedlam Building. It was built around, or maybe in 1849, as the bachelor officers' quarters, so just any officers that weren't married, because I assume any officers that were married had their wives with them and family, because that was pretty normal. It is said to be haunted by a cavalry officer who is seen walking through the building and sometimes tells people to be quiet.
Me too. I relate to that.
Would you just shut up? Oh my
I'm
gosh.
I'm trying to sleep. Shut your mouth.
Oh. So in 1874, gosh, I can't read numbers today.
I can't
the
ever.
The Cavalry Barracks Building was built. I worded this very wrong. So the Cavalry Barracks Building is built in 1874. And in the early morning, heavy boots can be heard. And, like, lots of them, like, a mass amount of people.
Lots,
like,
of people,
like,
walking
two,
in boots.
200 to 400 people were, like, housed in this barracks. Like, all of the boots can be heard walking over the boardwalk.
Stampede of boots.
I assume it's the boardwalk outside of the barracks building. And it's about the same time that, I think it's revel. Is that how you say the morning trumpet word?
Revel?
Revel?
I think.
Or is it revile? That sounds wrong.
No, it is not revile. And if it is, change it.
I think it's revel. The morning trumpeting.
It's got that one.
So that's fun. It's, you know, one of those reoccurring.
You're like,
those souls are stuck there forever.
His iPhone's going off. Just change your ringtone. That's the most annoying one.
So, other ghosts, and there's a lot of them, and every single one of them is fun, include a young man who's in a raincoat.
Cute.
Who's seen talking to someone, but the person isn't visible.
Oh, so maybe he was just talking to himself even back in the day.
Nobody, he, like, based on, like, people's record, he's, like, animatedly talking to, he's, like, looking at somebody, like, they're there present, but you can't see them.
Could be crazy.
But he could be crazy. But that's okay. I like to hope he is just having, it was a really
talking
good conversation.
Talking to someone who has left
or,
their...
like, tragically, there was some sort of, like, shooting practice that went wrong, and he, like, literally died in the conversation, and that's why he's stuck there. That was the other thing I thought of.
Maybe.
I was like, oh no, what if this is the last thing he did, and he just has to relive it?
That'd be rough.
There is also the apparition of a surgeon who is covered in blood.
Nice.
And he always looks irritable.
I would be too. Covered in blood for the most of your adult life, I would assume, and then yeah, even in the afterlife. No freaking way.
Just angry.
I'd be like, I just literally want to take a shower just and change my clothes.
There's a small creek that, like, runs through the compound somewhere called Deer Creek. And at this creek, there can be seen in the early morning a headless ghost who is throwing rocks into the water. Which if you were to see a headless ghost throwing rocks into the water, you would assume this is one you could approach, right?
I wouldn't be scared.
Yeah, definitely don't. He is not nice and should be avoided.
Did he throw rocks at you?
I want to know what he does so badly and no one tells me. Does he, like, bum rush you? Like, what does he do?
He's like, let me enjoy my rocks.
Does he throw, start, yeah, exactly. Is he throwing, what does he do? Does he yell at you? Are you haunted for life?
He can't, like, yell at you. It? There's no head.
Oh, you're right. Oh my gosh.
He can't even look at what you mean.
Should be avoided. Not a nice ghost.
Approach and report back to us what he does.
Yeah, we gotta know. We're very curious. No one has told us so far.
I would like if he would throw rocks at you.
So,
are they ghost rocks or real rocks when he does that?
That's a great question. I assume they're splashing. Otherwise, how are people noticing?
He can throw ghost rocks.
Are they ghost splashing? Do you hear ghost splashes?
Maybe just see it. He can't hear anything.
He doesn't have a head. Where's his head?
Maybe he's throwing rocks to retrieve his head and he thinks it'll help.
There's another ghost. They're located somewhere southeast of the fort at Bovey Draw. I don't know what that means, but it's called Bovey Draw.
Okay.
And this is the ghost of an erratic Civil War soldier who can be seen around midnight. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what is this?
It's just
erratic
a Civil War
in what
soldier.
Way?
I assume he's probably, like,
Running around,
like, probably frustrated, like, you know, doing
he's
that
dead.
Weird frustrated run-around run that
I
people
guess.
Do when they're,
I don't
like,
do that.
I don't know. He's erratic, though. He's an erratic Civil War soldier who can be seen around midnight at Bovey Draw.
Okay.
It is said that he is also not nice and should also be left alone, which makes sense. He is erratic.
He's stressed out.
Oh, hold on. That's wrong. He might be fine. It's the next ghost that's not nice. I worded this weird.
Oh, okay.
So the next ghost is not nice and should also be left alone. And this one has a blood-covered sword, so I'd be like,
I
don't want to try. I don't know what if you can get, like, a weird ghost sword cut, get ghost tetanus. I don't know what's happening there. I don't want to do it. Either way, he is standing at a location called the Detention Dam, which is north of the fort, and he can be seen looking, staring into the water at the stroke of midnight.
He's looking for the head.
Oh my gosh. Maybe he cut off the guy's head, and that's why they're
I'm
both
saying.
Independently mad.
That's what I'm saying.
Very frustrating situation. Maybe he's throwing the head in. He's watching it sink.
Maybe.
Murder.
And maybe the other guy's throwing rocks to hear the head. But how would he hear it? I don't know. He's a ghost.
No, he's just... Maybe that's what he was doing when his head got cut off.
Maybe. And the guy got so mad that the soldier isn't doing anything.
This is the last time!
You're done!
Throws it in the dam. cover up his
Okay, here's a ghost story. We've finished.
We That's figured a cold it case. Out. We solved it. We don't know who they are, but we solved it. We know the crime. We know the weapon.
And the perpetrator.
We know the place. We just don't know
we
who.
We solved clue.
But
you
the
don't
most
know, you don't know the who and clue either.
Oh yeah, I guess we don't know who he killed. There's just a dead guy.
Just someone dead.
But we don't know who the guy is. We just know he has a sword.
You would assume he's a higher up then.
Yeah, that he has a sword, that makes sense. But maybe he stole the sword.
No. I don't think so.
Probably not. So the most well known ghost of the fort is that of the Green Lady.
Okay.
And she has a little backstory. I've never seen anywhere this is, like, definitely a real thing, but it's the fun folklore, and that's always a good story. So she is said to be the daughter of a fur trading agent who was working at the fort, at the time it was called Fort John, who was briefly visiting before returning east, because she was, like, a lady, you know, like, schooled in
lady.
And lady things, like equestrianism and piano.
And balancing books on your head.
Yeah, you know, things like that. So she was known to be an accomplished equestrian and begged to stay out west at the fort longer rather than returning home because, you know, she probably got, like, more freedom and didn't have to do boring things.
Yeah, I bet.
There's probably, like, interesting people going by. Like, I get it.
There's headless ghosts around. So,
yeah, right? And they might not have been around yet, though, because the soldiers aren't there yet when she's around. This is just all fur trading and travelers.
There's some kind of ghosts around.
Oh, there's always ghosts around. Yeah. Clearly this place is cursed.
Something's wrong.
Has way too many angry ghosts.
Yeah. Well, it's just dead white men. They're always angry.
You know, it's fair.
Dead or alive.
Yeah. So her father eventually agreed. Because, like, you know, that's how that goes. But only if she, like, with the caveat, if she had to promise she would never leave the fort alone. Like, she always had to have an escort. And he, like, okay. He set up guards for her, or, like, people who were in charge of always going with her whenever she left and all that. Like, she had to be with these people at all times, which obviously irked her. She wanted to be free. One night, while her father is, like, off doing, I don't know, some fur trading business work. I don't think he was, like, hunting for furs because he was, like, on the business end of things.
Yeah.
But he's off doing something. So she takes this opportunity to, like, you know, escape, go off on her own for once, and manages to, like, sneak past the fort, like the guards and all that, get out of the fort, hop on a big black stallion and ride off. And as she's riding off, sub guards notice that this is her riding off, and they're like, well, crap, we're for sure going to be killed.
We're
if we don't go get
fired.
Her. Right? Like,
and dead.
We, yeah. So they chase after her, but they never do find her. She manages to outride them, riding off into the sunset, never to be seen again, even after extensive searching. So here's the thing. She may not have necessarily died. She may have, like, you know,
ran
had
away.
Plans and ran away, you know,
she
had a boy.
She went to a gold mining town.
Met a man, went off further west. Like, she may very well not have died in this, but just wanted to be gone.
Yeah. Stay
but,
free.
Either way, since her appearance, her ghost is seen every 7 years riding along the Oregon Trail.
That's so cool.
Just east of the fort. her figure is wearing a long green riding dress with a veiled hat with her dark hair tucked underneath. And she's riding her black stallion and holding a jeweled quirt, which I think is like those weird little whips.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but that seems right.
That's so fun. I like that. Why is it every 7 years?
There's absolutely no reason given as to why it's every 7 years.
Is that some kind of moon thing?
It could be some kind of moon thing. Could be some kind of, like, weird cyclical energy that's only around every 7 years. That she, like, left during on accident. And
yeah.
Now is, like, that
forced,
like,
to
that recording
in.
Has been, like, trapped in existence now. Who knows?
Not me.
We don't understand physics. And I meant everybody, not just us. So, like, that's her story, but the fun with her story doesn't end quite yet.
Okay.
So in 1976, it's in, and this is 1976 is one of the years that the Green Lady is supposed to appear. The Cheyenne Westerners sponsored a midnight event at the fort to see the ghost.
That's a little fun party
to see the ghost. Like, that's how, that's apparently how regularly this
right now
thing
I'm
is.
Thinking of that Parks and Recs.
Parks and Recs
episode.
Uh-huh. With the lizard
yeah.
people in the park.
The world ending or yep. whatever.
Yeah. So they're sponsoring this event. One of the Cheyenne Westerners was like, we're going to make sure this is a great event. We're going to see her. So he dresses up in a cloak and hops on a horse and like rides down the trail at the time that he's like, you're supposed to see her. And everyone's fooled and impressed. And they saw the Green Lady and it's great. Yeah. Clap, clap, clap. But the guy who did the ride said, absolutely not. Never again. That was the worst thing I've ever done because the entire time I was doing the ride, he heard phantom hoof beats following him. So no one else experienced the Green Lady except for him.
That's scary.
Which reminds me of that that story that I told a while ago from Lindenwood when the girl dressed up as...
And the lady sat next to her.
As Mary Sibley? And yeah. then... And sat at the piano where she's supposed to be seen, and then she turned, looked over, and Mary Sibley was sitting next to her.
I would punch her so
but that was,
fast.
That was, I was like, this the Green Lady story is really not that good, but this is the thing you're supposed to know. Because all the other ghosts were good enough to, like, tell, but she wasn't a good enough ender, even though this is, like, the big ghost of the fort. But with the little spooky encounter, then it was fun.
That's good.
And that's,
yeah, that was a fun...
That's Fort Laramie. I was shocked that there were so many good
fun
little ghosties
lot of
there.
Ghosts.
These western forts seem to have a lot of good ghosts, though.
They do.
Because, like Fort Sisseton was a really good set, too.
Yeah.
They're the eastern older. Forts, not so much.
Yeah. They're boring. They're a bunch of French and Englishmen. Gag.
Versus, like, these fun western
boring.
People doing crazy western things.
They were rowdy. A rowdy bunch.
I mean, that's why they were out there.
They're free. Like the wild horses.
Oh, did you hear? Grant's Farm is getting Mustangs.
Are they wild?
Yeah. Because, like, only so many Mustangs
they
can live
them?
In any area. They have to, like, manually maintain the populations because technically they're an invasive species. So that the other animals are okay because they're not native.
Well, horses are pretty.
Yeah, that's why they're still allowed to live there. So they have to go and, like, fetch a few every year to help maintain the herd populations in areas so they can be sustained and aren't, like, starving to death.
Yeah.
And these horses have to be adopted then because they don't want to like send them to slaughter. That seems rude. So Grant's mom has got their first
horses.
One. And then I think they're going to get like 4 to 6 more. They're going to adopt from these feral Mustangs.
Can I adopt one?
Where
and
would
then
you
be
put,
like spirit?
Where would you put it?
In my backyard.
That is not enough space for a feral Mustang.
Yes, it is. Run in circles.
But no, that's not nice for it.
Oh, like we'll go on terrible. Rides in the neighborhood. The people in my neighborhood literally drive around on 4-wheelers. What's different from a horse?
Poop.
I'll put a bag on. They make it work in downtown Main Street. I can make it work in the outskirts of a town.
Do you even scoop your dog's poop? In your backyard?
Drew does.
Okay. Somebody does. Do you think Drew would scoop your horse's poop?
Probably. I asked him to. He'll listen to this and be like, I will not. He would. He's a liar. He would. If you like this podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, because they do that now and I don't think a lot of people know. You can rate it and leave a review, I think.
Like
or maybe
it,
it's just rating.
It.
We have a website. Can't do much on
it.
It
just leads you to all the things that we are
saying. But it's there.
Here.
It has some information.
One day it might do something more.
We have an Instagram. You can follow us on there. It's in our episode bio. What more can you do? There's a whole lot. All right. Try not to kill anyone. And don't mess with Ouija boards.
Bye.